What are you passionate about? Number 4 in the You and Your Church series. This message by Pastor Rod Harris was delivered at Trinity Baptist Church on Wednesday evening, September 26, 2007.
Well, I'm glad that you're here for our time together this evening. Let's bow for a word of prayer together, and then we'll have an extended time of prayer at the end of our time this evening. Father, we thank you for your mercies and grace. We're grateful for the opportunity to gather around your word tonight and have it open to us. We pray for the ministry of the Holy Spirit to take the truth of your word and make application to our heart, to speak that word that we need to hear, that word that would challenge us, that word that would cause us to examine our hearts, to see where we are in relationship with you, in relationship to one another, and where our heart is with regards to the church. Father, I pray your blessing on our time together in Jesus' name. Amen. I don't know about you, but I never cease to be amazed by the type of things that people collect. I mean, people collect all kinds of things. And I guess the reason it amazes me, or one of the reasons it amazes me, is because I'm really not sentimental about stuff. I'm one of those who can just throw it away. Now, I may need it next week and have to go buy another one, but I don't have any problem throwing it away. Which makes life interesting around my house. Because everything has a story. And so I look in the closet and say, what is this? And why is it in the closet? And I'm told, Jessie wore that once. And she'll tell me the exact circumstance. And this, that used to sit on Grandma's shelf. We have boxes in the attic, and she knows what's in each of them, and she knows why we need to hang on to them. People collect all kinds of things. Bottles, buttons, cars, toys, toy trains, you name it. I'm certain someone collects it. And some of them are really fanatical about their collections. Now, when I notice someone who's in his 40s, who likes to read magazines about G.I. Joe uniforms and Star Wars miniatures, I want to take that person aside and say, you really need a life. You know, you really need to move on to something else. But maybe that's true of all of us. We've all got those things that are important to us. I've noticed something else about collectors. They never can figure out why you're not as excited about what they collect as they are. You notice that? I mean, they look at you incredulously. What do you mean you're not excited about this? What do you mean you don't understand why I would collect such a thing? I know people who are passionate about golf, about computers. Some are fanatical about baseball or football. Some are obsessed with their career. Some are eaten up with hunting or fishing. Some have a passion for shopping or movies or television, and others are so committed to their club, whatever that club may be, or service organization, it takes all of their time, energy, and effort. They are consumed by it. So my question for you this evening is, what are you passionate about? What is it that really gets your juices flowing? What excites you? What is it that consumes you? Pretty easy to find out, because your passion is what you talk about. Your passion is what you talk about, it's what you think about, it's what you dream about. What are you passionate about? Your passion is that thing that you give your time to without complaint. It's what you find your identity in. Your passion is what you're willing to sacrifice for. Your passion might be a hobby or a sport, a career, or an education. It might be a preoccupation with technology, your health, a political party, a cause, or a relationship. But you have a passion. And if you just give it a few moments, honest thought, you'll know exactly what your passion is. But tonight I want to ask you to consider, are you passionate about the church? Where would the church rank in your list of passions? I'm not even right now asking, is it the passion of your life? I'm asking, if you were to list your passions plural, where would it fit? Would it be anywhere near the top? Or would it be midway down or at the bottom or maybe not even appear on your list at all? Here are the words of John Stott. If the church is central to God's purpose, as seen in both history and the gospel, it must surely also be central to our lives. How can we take lightly what God takes so seriously? How dare we push to the circumference what God has placed at the center? If the church was worth Christ dying for, if the church was worth God's best and giving His Son to die for the church, and He places that high a priority and premium on what the church is, where do we as His followers push it to the edge and allow it to exist in our world, but we're certainly not going to have our world revolve around the church? We've been talking about the church for the last few weeks. More specifically, we've talked about you and your church. We began by asking whether you were dating the church or whether you were committed to it. Are you just flirting with church? Is it just something that it's there and it's nice, and when you feel like it, it's kind of fun to hang around and it's kind of fun to interact with, but you're really not ready for a serious long-term relationship? We looked at how marriage was created to serve as a picture of Christ and His church. Last time we talked about why you need the church. This evening I want to consider how you can move toward the church becoming your passion. Now please, don't hear what I'm not saying. I'm not suggesting that you must quit everything else that you're doing and be at the church 24/7. I'm not suggesting that you have to be involved in everything that ever goes on at this church building, but I am saying that I believe it is the will of God for every one of His children that they be passionate about their church, that local body of believers that they have entered into covenant with. I'm not talking about activity. I'm not talking about program. I'm talking about being passionate about the people that you have entered into covenant with. Because see, I think for too long we have identified church as a building and the programs that emanate from that building. And we've lost sight of what the church is. The church is the people. You and I are the church. You and I are brought together in relationship because we are related to Christ, and because of our relationship with Christ, we are related to one another. We are brought together in covenant relationship. That is a serious commitment that we make to one another to be accountable to and responsible for one another. How do I move toward that being a passion in my life? How do I move toward it not being out on the edge of my life, but being in the center of my life? What needs to happen? What do I need to do to move along that path? Well, first of all, you need to join it. That sounds simple enough. It sounds pretty straightforward, but there are a number of people who do not believe that joining a church is necessary or even a good thing to do. There are those who say, well, I think it's far better off if you just kind of give a random sampling of a number of different churches. It seems to me you can be better rounded if you go to church at this one for this, and you go over here for that, and you get a sampling of all the different things that are out there, and you just kind of get a feel for kind of what's going on and what's possible, and wouldn't it just be better for you to be involved in as many different kinds of expressions of the church as possible? Why single in, come in, get involved with one particular church? Well, I would say, for the same reason, marriage is a deeper, more fulfilling relationship than dating. It's one thing to hang out occasionally with someone. It's another thing to make a firm commitment to someone to be there through thick and thin, in the good and the bad, in the years of plenty and in the years of lean, in sickness and in health. There's something about committing your life to others in a genuine covenant relationship that is far deeper, more meaningful, and more fulfilling. Because joining a community of believers, a specific body of people that you formally, officially say, I belong to them and they belong to me, then I have a specific group of people to whom I'm accountable. And they're accountable to me. It's a group of people for whom you care, and a group of people who care for you. Now understand, when I say join, I'm not just talking about getting your name on a roll. That's pretty easy to do. In fact, in a Southern Baptist church, it's extremely easy to do. Here's the hard thing. Get your name off of a Southern Baptist church roll. You can't even do that when you die. So I'm talking about more than just getting your name on a roll. When I say join, I mean put down some roots and become involved in the lives of the people of the church. Join the church means to embrace the church, to become part of the church. Plant your life there. Too often it seems to me the attitude toward the church is, well, I'm here for good. Well, at least for now, maybe. Unless, of course, I find something better to my liking or you make me mad. But short of that, I'm here. And you can count on me. I'm talking about entering into a relationship where you say from the outset, I am determined to stay here the rest of my life. I am determined and will be happy and content to spend the rest of my life here. Enter into the relationship with that in mind. Now again, I am not suggesting that you never leave a church. I am not at all suggesting that there never comes a time that there is reason for you under the leadership of God to leave this particular local body of believers and join with that particular local body of believers. I'm not saying at all that that is wrong. I know there are those who say church is literally a marriage and you never walk out on a marriage no matter how bad it gets. There are times that it is the thing for you to do under the leadership of God to leave this body and join with that body. But here is what I'm saying. You don't leave a church body, a church home, your church family without good reason. And by good reason, I mean you have biblical grounds. You have a biblical reason for leaving. And when you leave it through tears. Because you are leaving family. Because you're leaving people with whom you've joined your life. They've become a part of you. You are a part of them. And it breaks your heart to leave. Because you understand what it means to be in covenant. It's more than a sense of being a part of a club. Because when you're part of a club, when that club no longer meets your needs, then you move on. Decisions are made on the basis of programming rather than relationships, too often. If you talk to people who leave one church and join another and ask them why they left, most of the time you're going to hear something like this. Well, they didn't have a good youth program. Their children program really was weak. The music was lacking. There just wasn't much there musically. I don't like the pastor. There aren't enough activities at the church. And the reasons for giving that are given for leaving all generally center around program issues. Or that there's something not to my liking as a part of that. And what I'm suggesting is we need to look at the church in a different way. And you say, I don't come to join Trinity Baptist Church because I think they got the greatest programs going. You join Trinity Baptist Church because you say, I believe God wants me to join my life with the people of this church. And I want to enter into relationship with these people. And I want to share my life with them, and I want to embrace their life. See, that's why we join churches. Not because they offer the best program. Not because they have the best to offer from in the area that I've called all the churches to see what they offer, and I put them side by side. I mean, that may be the way you choose the grocery store. That may be the way you choose what club you want to join or not join. But I don't believe that's the basis for joining church. Church is a relationship. It's entering into life with other people. And there needs to be a sense of belonging and a sense of being a part. See, the people who are happy in their church and have been there for a long time, when you talk to them about their church and what they like about it, they'll always talk about people. They'll talk about relationships. They'll say, you know, we raised our kids together. You know, they were there when my parents died. They were there when I went through this trial. They were there in the midst of this struggle. And it's all about people and how their lives were connected. For a church to become a passion for you, you really need to plant your life there. You join, and by join I mean you join in. You put down some roots and say, I'll be a part. Second, you're going to have to make the church a priority. The fact is, we all build our lives around our priorities. Building your life around the church means making it the kind of priority that secondary concerns flow around rather than over your commitment to the church. And that's important. If you're going to make the church priority in your life, that means things that are of lesser importance work around the church, not mow over the church. So I need to meddle for just a minute. You know, there comes that time when the preacher has to stop preaching, go to meddling for a little while. And I need to do that now because I need it and you need it. Do football games, hunting season, sleeping in, or enjoying the beautiful weather run over your involvement in the church, or do they flow around your involvement in the church? That's an important indicator. When it comes up that there's something you really enjoy doing, you'd like to do, and the choice is that or church, which one consistently wins out? Now again, don't hear me saying what I'm not. I'm not saying you don't ever go on vacation, you don't ever get away. I'm not saying that. But what I'm saying is, on a regular basis, if other priorities always take precedent over the church, there's a problem. And I would have to suggest the church is not the priority. Other things have become the priority. I started with those because those are the kind of things that we can say pretty easy. I mean, most of us, if we're pushed and we're put on the spot, and I call you up here in front of everybody and say, now, do you believe that football is more important than the church? You would know in this context, the correct answer is to say, the church is more important. If I were to say to you, is it more important to sleep in on Sunday or be here? You'd say, no, it's more important to be here. That's easy. But let me go a bit further. What if it's your career? Now that has to do with work schedule. And please, again, hear me. I know there are circumstances where you have no control over that. But there are other circumstances where you do have a choice. It may be less pay or other circumstance, but you do have a choice. What's going to win out? Let's say you're offered a better job with a greater opportunity for advancement eventually and a big pay increase. What place does your church have in your decision-making process? As you think through the option that you have before you, I mean, you're offered this great opportunity. Is one of the things you consider in that list of things that you're checking off and you're thinking through, which I know you do, is the church one of the items you have to consider before you make a decision one way or the other? How's this going to affect my ability to be involved in the life of my church? How is this going to affect my ability to attend faithfully the worship of my church? How is this going to cut in on the time I have to spend with the people at my church? Do you even consider those issues? Or do you assume it's a better job and more money and it must be the will of God? How about this? You'll be working the same hours. You're going to have plenty of time. You'll be off on Wednesday night. You'll be off on the weekend. That's not a problem at all, but it's going to involve your moving. Maybe across state, maybe to another state. What role does your church play in your decision about whether you take that job or not? Now, see, I know you're going to think about your family. I know you're going to think about how's this going to affect my parents and their ability to see their grandkids. How's this going to affect my grandkids and how often they're going to be able to be around grandparents? What kind of schools are there? Am I going to be able to get my kids into a good school there? Will they be able to grow up in the kind of school I want them to? You think about all those things. So I'm asking you, where in that grid, as you're working through that issue, do you put, is it worth leaving my church to take this job? See, it's the same thing when your kids get of age that they're going to go off to college. You sit down with them and say, one of the things you need to think about, whether it's right for you to leave and go away to school because you'll be leaving your church. Here's what we typically think in those two scenarios. I'll find a good church when I get there. You may not. But here's my concern, especially when talking to your children about the issue. If you say, well, this is important and we must do that and we'll surely find a church somewhere. You've said to your children, the church isn't really that important in our decision making. Whether you intend that or not, you've communicated that the church is a secondary issue in our family. And one of the things I think we have to come to recognize is we're dealing with things in the church that are eternal. But when it comes to decisions about money and happiness and those things, we seem to treat it the other way around. Again, don't hear me saying things I'm not saying. I'm saying this to me because I think the worst bunch in the world about considering these issues are preachers. Because after all, if somebody comes calling and it's a bigger church and more money, it must be the will of God. And I'm saying the commitment of my heart and where I've come to and where the Lord has brought me is the issue isn't simply what opportunities out there, but is it the will of God for me to leave my home here? To see, you all are, this isn't my job. I mean, I work here. I draw my living from here. But you are my family. This is my church home. So I'm not just talking about this is the way you guys need to look at this. I'm saying all of us need to look at it this way. How important is this body that we have entered into covenant with and said, I want to share my life with you and I want you to share your life with me? If it's going to be your passion, you're going to have to join, you're going to have to commit to, and you're going to have to make it a priority, which is not easy. It is a difficult thing to do. What I'm suggesting is, if your church never enters into the equation, you can be fairly certain it's not a priority. By the way, I think these same issues have to be dealt with when you talk about your retirement years. Do you move away? Or do you stay? Where does the church fit? Oh, but you know, I've always dreamed about this. That may be fine and that may be the will of God, and if so, God bless you, wonderful. But does it even enter into the equation? In order to go there, I have to cut relationship here. And whether that's the right thing to do or not. Third, you need to find ways you can serve. You need to seek out ways of giving your time, your energy, your gifts, your talents to something outside of yourself. 1 Peter 4:10 says, as each has received a gift, use it to serve one another as good stewards of God's varied grace. The fastest and surest way for you to connect with the church and develop ownership within the church is to give yourself to service within the church. Church membership is not intended to be a spectator sport. It's supposed to be a participation sport. Ephesians 4, 15 and 16. Rather, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into Him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped, when each part is working properly, makes the body grow, so that it builds itself up in love. You are saved and gifted in order to serve the whole body and to give your life in service to the church. Please don't allow service within the church to be an afterthought. Invest your abilities to the honor and glory of God within the church, making it priority in your life. See, God blesses you so you in turn can bless others. That's the whole point of Paul in Romans 12, 4 through 6. For as in one body we have many members, the members do not all have the same function. So we, though many, are one body in Christ and individually members of one another. Having gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, let us use them, if prophecy, in proportion to faith, and so on. What I'm saying is, if the church is going to be a passion, you have to invest your life in that church and to give yourself in service. And you don't wait for us to find you. You come with your gifts, your talents, your interests, and you say, here's what I have to bring. Where can I be used? You have talents, you have gifts, you have abilities, and by the way, you have things that you're passionate about, and you have all that for a reason. And that's probably why God placed you in the body He placed you in. Because the truth of the matter is, you may come with a gift, a talent, ability, a calling, something that God has laid on your heart that we've not even dreamed of doing. And it's the very thing we need to do. And that's why God brought you at the time He brought you, for you to bring that to this body. We need to empower one another to turn each other loose in the areas we're passionate about, and don't worry about people who aren't passionate about our area, but let's just all rejoice in what each other is doing. As long as it's exalting Christ and furthering the kingdom of God, we'll all rejoice in it. That's how the church functions. Don't let a program drive it. Allow the talents, the gifts, the abilities, the heart of the members to drive it as they just naturally share the overflow of their life. Fourth, as you've joined and as you've made it a priority and as you give yourself in service, you need to be connecting with others. We call it fellowship. The word means to share life. Fellowship in the church is about doing life together. It's about belonging to each other. Have you noticed all those commands in the New Testament, those one another commands? Like, love one another, John 13. Be devoted to one another, Romans 12. Honor one another, Romans 12. Rejoice with one another, also Romans 12. Serve one another, Galatians 5. Carry one another's burdens, Galatians 6. Forgive one another, 1 Thessalonians 5. Offer hospitality to one another, 1 Peter 4. Confess your sins to one another, James 5. And pray for one another, also James 5. Now, what do you note about all those commands? It's about connecting with other people. And there's nothing in that about programs. It's about the sharing of life. It's about doing life together. But that requires work. It's a whole lot easier to run a program than it is to do church this way. Because to do church this way, we have to take initiative on our own, and we have to dare to reach out, to try to become involved with others, and maybe they don't want to become involved with us, and I don't want to find that out. So I'll hold back. We're to seek to connect our lives with others. And something that I think we all struggle with, moving beyond our circle and the people that we're most comfortable with and trying to connect our lives with others that we're not so comfortable with. And thereby growing. And thereby demonstrating the love and grace of Christ to bring us together. Finally, you have to learn to share your passion. Have you noticed no one ever has to browbeat you into sharing what you're passionate about? You notice that? I can give you the absolute guaranteed proof of that maximum. Any of you ever been around a new grandparent? Did you have to pry it out of them? Did you have to beg and plead, please tell me something? No, you begged and pleaded, but it was, will you please shut up? I've seen it. I've heard it. You know, you don't have to be talked into sharing what you're passionate about because your passion just spills out. And we all know that. And we have all, I think, as the people of God, beaten ourselves up because we found how easy it was for us to talk about some things. And yet how difficult it is for us sometimes to talk about our faith and to share with others. You know, I can talk to people at work or school or whatever about the ball game or anything like that. I can get excited and passionate about something. I don't have any problem sharing that at all. And then all of a sudden I want to try to invite him to church or talk to him about the Lord, and it just sticks in my throat and doesn't want to come out. Why is that? Well, part of it is the fact that we're dealing with a spiritual dynamic and there are other forces at work. But if we're honest, a big part of it is we're not that passionate about Christ and we're not that passionate about our church. Because when you are, it just spills out. When you are, it's just a natural thing. Whenever you're around a group of people and there's a lull in the conversation, you take it there. Because you're excited and enthused about that. And going back to where we started about collectors. When you're passionate about something, you don't understand why others aren't passionate about it. So you're not bashful in sharing. The church needs to become our passion. I'm not saying you can't have passion about other things. I'm not saying don't be a collector. I'm not saying don't enjoy hunting or fishing or shopping or a number of other things you want to do. God has created a good world and we're to rejoice in it and enjoy it. So my purpose tonight is not to try to put any of us on a guilt trip, but it is to try to say to us, I believe the Lord wants us passionate about the church, passionate about one another. How do we get there? Well, we get there by joining it, planting our life. We get there by making it a priority. We get there by connecting our lives with others. And then simply by sharing our passion. That is something about passion. You stay around people that are passionate, before long you get infected by it. You know, I've been around some collectors that after they talked about it, I at least had to look into it. Whether I ever bought into it or not, they were so excited about it, I wanted to know more. Passion works that way. If the church is the focal point of the work of redemption, if the church is central to the work of God in the world, how can we afford to push it to the side of our life and experience as His people? And expect to be who and what God wants us to be. Let's pray and hope that God will grant us a passion for His church. take your prayer sheet. Let me make you aware of a couple of things before we dismiss.
You've been listening to a Plowman podcast. Find us on the web at theplowman.org. The Plowman features the preaching ministry of Rod Harris, pastor of Trinity Baptist Church in Tulsa, Oklahoma, located at the corner of 41st and Union. To learn more about the ministries at Trinity Baptist Church, visit us on the web at www.tbctulsa.org.